You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
One pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
on every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And it is the Wednesday, and we say good morning on DPHRO and Rothenberg with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. So some good news. I think my voice is almost back to normal after the yelling and screaming of the Rangers game on Sunday. Secondly, Rick, today was almost a Wednesday open for you. Very close to a Wednesday open for you.
What happened?
Well, alarm went off. I thought I was better than the snooze.
Notorious for rolling out of bed and just popping the headphones on.
I don't think notorious for that, but today that's where we're sitting. Alarm goes off, 4:05. I go on my phone, figure, you know what, rather than have it go off every 9 minutes and then, you know, be reading box scores and looking at articles in bed, and then Sherry wakes up, I think I can beat the snooze. I'll turn it off. And then at 4:47, I get a tap on my shoulder. Don't you have a show today? And then I have that, before I know what time it is, that I said, what time is it? And I thought, oh my God, she's going to say 5:12, you know, something like that. 4:47, I'm like, oh God. Up, teeth, face, rush downstairs.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where we're at.
Early risers will get work.
I told you, I don't like the Wednesday.
No, especially after just letting it all hang loose for Game 7. This is what happens. You're paying the price now.
If that Game 7 was on a Thursday, we would have been in great shape. That Game 7 on a Sunday really set us back.
No,
really set me back, I guess.
Well, I don't even know if it's necessarily the Game 7. I mean, it could be the antics after the Game 7. Like, hey, no, I don't want to leave the suite. I want to stay.
I would have stayed. I'd still be there now.
And mustard.
I would have taken, like, Eric Church, I think, is soon. I would have just still been there. I hugged hard bodies the other night.
Lots of hard bodies. A lot of things happen on Sunday. A little pizza. Could you imagine if RJ just let you just gave you the freedom to do what you wanted that night?
Well, he really stood in my way. He really hampered me.
Thank
you know
God.
What was sad, though? You know what they made me do? I didn't even tell you this. They made me eat pizza alone.
Oh, no. Like Steven Glansberg. That's not right.
They made me eat pizza alone. And not only did they make me eat pizza alone, I offered to buy them pizza. And they're like, no, we don't want pizza. Or just like, I just had a burger. I'm like, you had a burger 3 hours ago. Have a piece of pizza. No, I don't want pizza. And Hurley, I was like, he goes, I walked 12 miles today. How can I have pizza? I'm like, that now affords you the luxury to have pizza.
That's why you walked the 12 miles.
Right?
I was trying to break even on days
pizza.
Like that.
I said, you're with a friend. Get pizza. No. So I'm sitting there eating pizza, and they're jibber-jabbering about God knows what.
Listen, after you're crushing burgers with Adam Graves, I'm good. That's the high point. I don't need to try to top that.
We've got questions about the pizza.
Well, did I hear that Kaya? I didn't hear it, but I guess I saw it on Twitter. He's still freaking out about he wasn't at the game on Sunday night?
No, not Sunday night. If he can't get he asked for two tickets. Well, he couldn't have gone to the game on Sunday anyway because he was in Chicago, and he's in Baltimore now. It's this series. If he can't get tickets to Sunday's game, I think, he needs two, then that's it.
What does that mean, that's it?
That's it. The end of the K-show.
So if he doesn't get two tickets for Sunday's game, the K-Show effectively ends.
K-Show ends. And now if Don gets the devil's job, that's also going to lead to some problems. That's MSG. They're on Yes.
The devil's commitment. TV job is open?
Yes.
And Don wants it?
Of course he are. Why wouldn't he?
And if Don gets... What do you mean the K-Show ends for that?
Well, that the era of Don, I think, ends. Well, that really? was the talk of the year.
You do realize Don leaves the K-Show, it's no longer... I mean, it ceases to exist.
Wow.
No?
But that wasn't the talk. That was there was talk as to who replaces Don.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, who could possibly replace Don? They'd probably go to you.
It was me, you, and Carlin was also in the mix. Peter actually went with you. Peter thought that you'd be a nice fit. But I guess management came right up and just stepped up and said the morning show will not be broken up.
Really?
That's what they said.
And I would say the same thing. I would say I have a partner. I can't do it. I'm locked in. I'm sorry. That's what I would say. You would jump ship, I think. You would no, you'd be right there.
Of course I would not. I mean, until they offered you a big bag of money. You'd be like, okay, Rick, thanks. Enjoy the mornings.
That's right.
Somebody's going to pay for that.
A big bag of money? I am hot.
Somebody's got to pay for that beautiful new car you're driving.
Rawr! Not new. Thing is 6 months old now.
Oh, it's okay. It still smells brand new. RJ told me it smelled like a brand new, beautiful luxury vehicle is what he said.
It's not brand new. It is luxury. I don't think it has that new car smell.
How's that possible? It's only 6 months old. It should smell delicious right now.
After 6 months?
Yes.
No.
What are you doing in that thing?
With my kids are in after sports all the time.
That's a great point.
So no. All right. So tonight's the night. 7 o'clock right here, 98.7 ESPN. The whole thing starts all over again. Now we reset. Remember the other day when we said we're not breaking down Carolina, we're not getting into Carolina, we're not looking ahead? Now we're here. Now it's Rangers, Carolina tonight, 7 o'clock right here, 98.7 ESPN. I'm nervous again, all over again.
You should be. This is going to be a good series. It's a big test, especially now going, I mean, after what happened in that last series, coming back in those last three games, now going into Carolina where they haven't lost yet in the playoffs. And pretty much, I mean, in all honesty, dominated Boston down in Carolina. You're going to have your hands full.
That's what they do at home. The crowd goes crazy. I don't know that they know what they're watching, but they go absolutely bizarre. But I'm serious. I've sat there. I've walked around that arena. I know how it works. I think half of them don't understand what's going on, but they scream and they yell and they shriek. And when they, you know, it's like one of those things, when they gain the red line, they just start yelling. Like they can go 2-on-3 past the red line and they're going nuts.
It's a big moment, a little transition. They love it.
They love it. They love it. You know, the dump and chase, and they're like screaming and yelling. So yeah, the place is going to be at a fever pitch.
Yep.
The team is excellent.
A lot of familiar faces, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, I think they have six, like we went through the other day. This is a big matchup. Let's be honest. Carolina on paper starting this series is probably the better team.
Yeah, I wouldn't say probably. I mean, if you take everything into account. I mean, they struggled against them in the regular season. I mean, the game you won, Georgie played out of his mind. And then, you know, the fact that you didn't really play well in Pittsburgh, and now you're going to Carolina where they've played. I mean, they were a handful for Boston. I mean, they shut down. I mean, that's one of the best. That Boston, I mean, that Marchand, Bergeron, Pasternak line is one of the best lines in hockey. And they did a number on them in Carolina.
Right, but on the flip side, when the games were in Boston, Boston was the better team. It's not like Boston got lucky to win those games. They were the better team. So, you know, Rangers, go steal a game. Go steal a game in Carolina. Maybe tonight's the night. Game one, right? Maybe a little lack of focus. The problem is the crowd energizes them so much, but maybe a little lack of focus. Maybe Igor is just unbelievable.
Yeah,
I
wouldn't think it was lack of focus. It happened in game one against Boston. Boston actually had a really good start to that game, but they couldn't score. Is that you just get overexcited. It's more overexcited than anything else.
Whatever. But maybe tonight is your best opportunity to go down there and steal the game.
I always felt like game one on the road was the best chance. That was the best opportunity to steal of the two games on the road, those first two games, I felt like game one was the your best shot.
Yeah, because then your legs are under you after game one, right? Then you know you're in a series, you're ready to go, and now you're game two.
Yeah, you're going to make adjustments and everything else.
And Carolina's
plus, if you win that first game now, I mean, you did exactly what you went down there to do, was get the split. So now you have, I mean, you're
now there's no pressure on you. Now all the pressure's on the other team. So,
exactly right.
I don't know. We'll see. This is a daunting series. This is a very good team. I mean, I don't know that they have much of a weakness on this team.
Goalie's a bit of a question. I mean, we'll see when Freddie Anderson is back. Antti Raanta played good in that in the first round, but I mean, Rangers fans have seen him play, so you definitely have an advantage there. The Rangers just have to tighten things up. I mean, even in that game seven,
can they?
That's the question, man. That's why I have a hard time believing they're going to get through Carolina. I mean, Shesterkin gives you a chance, but like I've said the entire first round, you got to give him that chance. He did in game seven. I mean, when you look at the chances in game seven.
He sure did. What'd you say, that Pittsburgh's expected goals were like close to six, was it?
Yeah, close to 5.5. They had,
and they scored, what, three?
They had double the high danger chances. That's another positive, too, by the way, the Rangers, is how well Mika played at the end of that series.
He got better as the series went on, yes.
Absolutely.
He got better as the series went on. So, and I guess Lindgren is... He probably won't be healthy. God knows what's going on with him. He probably won't be healthy this entire postseason, but at least he's there. Because I think without him, Fox is not the same player.
I would agree with that.
So having him is big. And I said it last week, and it strikes me as so strange that when you don't have a Lindgren or you don't have like another part of your first pairing on defense, now you just go with a guy who doesn't play.
Well, because, I mean, that's...
I know, because you don't want to break up the other lines, but it's weird.
I know it is. And then you're asking him to step in and play these big minutes on your top pair. And you could tell, I mean, it definitely affected Fox because there's that level of comfort. Because they know how to play together. Lindgren knows, you know, Fox is cheating offense and, you know, he's going to be there to kind of be the guy to stay home and clean up the mess whenever it happens. So, yeah, that's because, again, Fox has to be one of your best players. He has to be. If you're going to win the series.
Absolutely, he does. So, Rangers tonight, 7 o'clock right here on 98.7 ESPN. Mets with a long day. They were right there. You know, unfortunate play from Escobar. They called it a hit. I thought he should have made that play.
But couldn't get out of his glove.
Well, I know.
That was a Willie Mays Hayes, though. Whoops. Like, he had, like, O'Neill struggled. He was terrible all day long.
All day. Really? Tyler O'Neill, who someone predicted would win the National League MVP.
Well, I didn't realize he was like, he's suffocating himself with those pants. I mean, how do you play baseball in pants like that? I mean, it's too much. Those are too tight. How do you get out of those?
He's hitting 195.
No kidding. And then he made a bonehead play in the eighth. You got to call. I mean, that's your ball. That Lindor foul pop. That's your ball, man.
Yeah, that was weird the way they went after that thing.
So you got lucky in that inning to tie it up. McNeil's awesome, and then you end up blowing it in the ninth.
That was very, very unfortunate. He makes that play. Who knows what happens?
I know, but going into that doubleheader, I mean, I was more concerned about game one than I was game two. But Trevor
Williams was good.
Great. Oh, yeah.
Williams is really, really good. Here's the thing I will say. This is a resilient bunch. And they were mentioning it on the broadcast. Where was Gary last night? Do you know?
No.
I missed him.
I miss him. Yeah. Badly. Terribly.
I missed him. That was Randazzo doing the games? Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I thought he was okay.
No, but he's not Gary.
Well, that's the thing. He's not Gary.
It's like when I do a show without you. It's like, it's good. Oh. It's not Dave.
Well, that's sweet.
Yeah, I love you.
That's very nice. But it's not Gary. But, yeah, so starting pitching was actually good, right? I mean, Williams was excellent. The bullpen came in and did a shutdown job. But they mentioned this during the second game, that's a resilient bunch, huh? I mean, you never feel like they're out of a game, ever.
No, because, I mean, they really haven't been. I mean, they fight until the very end, which I love. I'll tell you right now what's happening, though, and they're lucky that they're winning games.
Well, they're not hitting.
Well, they're not hitting, but more importantly, who's not hitting?
Lindor's not hitting.
Yeah. So he's very lucky this team is where they're at, because if they were scuffling and they're going through it now with the injuries and now we have, you know, Nimmo day to day with the quad contusion. Like, there are a lot of people that are going to start getting frustrated with him with the amount of money that he's making.
I would agree with you. Now Nimmo fouls the ball off his quad, has to leave the game. He said post game that he doesn't think it's going to be a long injury at all, But here he is discussing after the game the quad contusion.
I'm all right. Just when I hit that ball off my knee, kind of like got the quad in the adductor. So when I went to run and beat that out, just like it wouldn't fire. And so and I just tried to kind of get there the best way that I could, give it everything I had. But it feels all right now. I just got a lump on it. And we'll just take it day to day and see how it is in the morning.
I got a lump on it.
It's not going to feel good tomorrow, I can promise you that.
No, and you have no Marte, right too.
No, and no Marte. What a terrible story that is. Holy.
Well, but you know what I didn't realize? Did you realize? So his wife? Grandmother passed away, right?
Yeah, and that his wife had recently passed
right,
away?
Right, well, that's the thing I didn't realize. So I'm reading this tweet about, you know, his grandma passed away. And again, it's sad, but a grandma passing away is the natural order of progression. And then I'm reading it, and it says, you know, and this on the heels of his wife passing away. I was like, wait. His wife passing away.
Yeah, his wife, and I guess he was raised primarily by his grandmother too.
Right, so. which is sad, but is expected. I didn't know his wife passed away from a heart attack a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That is, oh God.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Dog gets the devil's job. That's also going to lead to some problems.
The devil's commitment. TV job is open.
Yes.
And Don wants it.
The era of Don, I think, ends. There was talk as to who replaces Don.
Who could possibly replace Don? They'd probably go to you.
Can you imagine how quickly Rick would want to leave Dave?
I think Rothenberg would be the better fit.
But I guess management just stepped up and said the morning show will not be broken up.
And I would say the same thing. I'd say I have a partner. I'm locked in. I'm sorry.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Until they offered you a big bag of money, you'd be like, okay, Rick, thanks. Enjoy the mornings.
That's right.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, let's air the dirty laundry first before we get back to the sports. 1-800-919-3776. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So apparently Don is going for the devil's job. That's probably his dream job. He grew up a Devils fan.
Well, he said he hasn't gone for it yet.
Well, he's probably going to. Why would he not go for it?
Well, that's what I said.
Well, who is calling the Devils, though? Steve Cangelosi?
Yep.
What happened to Steve?
He stepped
down. You didn't run him over, did you?
No, I did not. No, it was 11 years, and he's the... I think he's doing soccer now? I think he's going to stay on with soccer?
Yes, the Red Bulls, I believe.
He's going to stay on with that. And they're looking for a new partner for Kenny Danico.
Okay, so they're looking for a new partner. So if Don takes that job, Don then leaves the case show. They discussed it yesterday. Let's take a listen to what they discussed, and then we'll get into the DeGrom and the Judge stories, Lindor as well. Here is the Michael Kay show on Rick stepping right in and taking Don's job.
I'm going to be giving opinions for a long, long time, Michael. Where am
Do
I
you
going?
Know, Peter, that I was texted by an executive. I'm not breaking up my morning show. Can you imagine how quickly Rick would want to leave Dave? Like they say, do you want to join Michael? Yes.
Do you know that, just throw this out there, I know you love the man. Do you know that we'd want to work with Rick every day?
I would want to live with him every day. Yeah.
See, that's not true.
See, that's then you don't blank where you eat, so I don't think it'd be a good idea.
Rick would be a lot of fun to work.
But you have no idea what he's like to work with. Zero idea.
I didn't have any idea what you were like to work with.
It happened to work out.
Yes, it
but
did.
But it is a total crapshoot. It's a total crapshoot.
Well, anytime you hire somebody for this kind of job, it's a total crapshoot.
Wait a minute.
I didn't know who Dom was going to be when they had him.
Oh, you didn't have any respect for me.
Right. They didn't know who he was either. They thought he was coming in to fix the vending machines.
Yeah.
And just said, hey, do you want to do an update?
Very good at.
Great vending machine guy.
You get like the M&M stuck. You get Don involved.
That's right. He just does like a full body block.
Well, or forget the vending machine. You just come into the you come into the studio and you have the you stick in the quarter and then you have the M&Ms that are like 40 years old.
Have you ever done that though?
Handful of those M&Ms.
Yeah, that's very sanitary in this day and age. So that's on you potentially taking Don's spot. Apparently, there was a text sent by upper management that they would not break up this very show. Let's take a listen to that one.
If for some reason they needed to break up the morning show, they would break it like a Bo Jackson bat over their leg.
I was told by the person that would have to make that decision, I'm not breaking up my 5-8 show.
No.
So, yeah, 5-8, okay. It's a wonderful time, and it's important for the station. But I think Rick would be allowed to come on the show when Don leaves.
It wouldn't work. I don't picture a show in which Rick presents real opposition to you. That's what makes you and Don so special. The fact that you guys disagree so often, yet have the comfort to be able to really fight like cats and dogs. As much as you pretend you and Rick are close, not. And I think he'd get up here and be sort of subservient to you. I don't know that he's the fit. I think Rothenberg would be the better fit from a fighting perspective. Don, am I making sense?
You don't need a yes man.
I just got a text from Rick. True. I'm on the phone right now with the Devils, begging that Don gets the job.
See? Wow, what a nice guy doing that just for you, Don.
So you want that job? That's what we just learned.
No.
What do you mean, no?
No. I want Don to get the Devil's job.
You want Don to get the Devil's job so you can bow at the altar of Michael Kay.
No, I wouldn't bow at the altar of Michael Kay. Why couldn't Don do both?
How?
That's the other question. What do you mean? How does Michael do both? Michael does it. How could he not?
No. Now he's going to start traveling all over the place. Michael does it on a station that is you know, we're in bed with Yes. The show's on Yes.
Well, and his games are on Yes.
Right, exactly. So I don't know. I don't think it works. So he gets that Devil's job. You step right in, and I'll do the show with Buster.
Who?
With Buster.
No, you're not going to do the show with Buster. The show is me and you. Why are you taking that out of that clip as opposed to them being so disrespectful to our time slot? That's the troubling part.
Well, because they're disrespectful to anything. Anything that is not their big 3-7, they're disrespectful to.
And when does Don, I missed all the time that he disagrees with Michael. This fighting like cats and dogs.
They always go at it.
No, they don't.
No?
No. Right. Very rarely. I mean, the most upset they get is when they talk about his name not being on the show. That's pretty much it.
But you would never go after Michael. It would be nauseating.
No, of course I would. If he made a point that I disagreed with, of course I would go after him.
Like, if I make a point you disagree with, you call me an idiot and you go after me. He makes a point, you'd be like, excuse me, sir, I don't agree with exactly what you've just said there.
Because I have respect for people.
So you respect him and you don't respect me. So the guy you work with every day, no respect. The guy that you hold on a pedestal, that's where you have your respect.
You big mad.
Yeah, pretty
right?
much.
Okay, great. So now at least we've now ironed it out.
See, but you let them do what they were trying to do, which is break the show apart.
They're the bad guys.
They're the ones that were being disrespectful to our time slot, not me.
Well, I heard that they thought I'd be a better fit than you, and I appreciated that. You had Peter.
I mean, come on.
Because Peter knows.
No, Peter knows. Peter,
because
no,
Michael's all wrapped up in the aura that is you. When you get down to nuts and bolts, you need real quality assessment in the world of sports. They go to me.
He's a legitimately nice man.
That's what we need. Just what we all need.
Oh, yes, Michael. You're a yes man. Nobody wants a yes man.
And plus, they wouldn't waste you. They wouldn't waste another driver at the station. That's the other thing you got to take into
account.
That's very valid. To put two drivers on the same show?
You can't.
Couldn't do that.
Station falls apart.
Well, so if I were to go, who would you want?
Trust me. It falls apart. I'm listening last night. We're breaking down. We're doing a full breakdown of the PGA Championship.
Who did that?
I was into it. I love the PGA Championship.
I'm sure there were tens of people that were into it. Really?
Tens of people. This show dies.
A station could die. There's a chance the station dies if you go away.
I am hot. All right. Can we please get into DeGrom?
Listen, you're driving this thing, buddy.
I'm trying.
Try harder.
Boom.
Let's go.
Here is Billy Epler.
Deer.
The Mets general manager. Give us the update, Billy. What did the MRI show from one Jacob DeGrom?
We're pleased with what we saw yesterday. That was good. I was happy to get that news last evening, and I didn't want to bother everybody at 9 o'clock last night. Figured some of you might have had plans or something and been doing some things, so I just waited till this morning just to let everybody know that it was good. So he's going to get to move back further and throw harder, and so those are good things.
So that's good news.
Yeah, it's great news. I mean, as long as he doesn't take a step back.
That's right.
There's no rush.
No rush. You're playing well. Now, do we even have an update with McGill?
McGill was put on the IL.
I know, but they were going to do an MRI and give us an update. I haven't seen that.
No, he already had. No, did he have the? I thought he had.
Did he have the MRI and they gave us results?
Maybe I'm thinking about May.
Yeah, I don't know. I know he's on the IL. I don't know. We have a full update on him. So regardless. You're going to lose him for at least some semblance of time. But if you told me right now, I'm going to get good, regular, healthy DeGrom on August 1, I would take that.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. It just that there's no reason to rush this thing. You realize how important he is. I mean, this is one of those injuries that it's not like you just, you can rush through it. The bone has to heal, especially with how hard he throws.
Right. And the
bone
is
the scary part.
So RJ just gave me an update on McGill. RJ, give that to everyone.
It's right bicep tendon.
Yeah, but no structural damage whatsoever.
No structural damage.
So that's very good news. All right, more from Epler. Will DeGrom need another MRI?
If the doctors prescribe one, then we'll do it, obviously, but I'll put that in their hands. But right now, it's just a matter of letting them step back further, throw harder, and then again, treating the patient more than anything else. So just how does he feel? How does the scapula feel under a little bit more stress, which will come with that distance and velocity?
It's going to be a long time in between starts for him, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be a long time.
It's going to be like a year.
Well, look at the positive. I mean, there's no when you're going to need him the most, which is, obviously stretch run into the postseason, that he'll be rested. Right?
Which is phenomenal. Well, I said that to Buster. I don't know if you remember this, and I got, that's a great question. I said, could you look at this as somewhat of a blessing in disguise that when you get to the biggest games of the year, hopefully you'll have a fresh and rested and healthy Jacob DeGrom? And he responded, that's a great question. That's a great point.
Well, that's the only way to look at it. I mean, how else would you look at it? Right, I mean that's the hope is that Scherzer's been really good, Bassett's been really good, McGill was good. I mean the pitching staff has been good.
Excellent.
All of a sudden I'm going to get the best pitcher in baseball back.
That's right. It's going to be like the biggest trade at the deadline.
Yeah, let's just throw every cliche around today.
Right, as long as you can keep your head above water, right?
You have to. Maybe we should sing about it.
I've done that. It's my biggest.
Keeping
single.
Your head above water.
Yeah.
We gotta get that the Mets clubhouse maybe.
Put that on the speaker.
Get Buck to play that.
Thank you for being a friend. They could have like my best hits.
I just get nervous with this kind of injury though, with him. Everything that happened last season.
Of course you do.
Everything that happened last season. How hard he throws. It seems like he's resistant to maybe dialing it back a little bit. That he just puts so much. I mean, he just puts so much stress on his arm and everything around it.
Have you ever seen when they? I'm sure you have. So this is kind of rhetorical. When someone throws and they do like a slow motion
yes.
of the arm.
Yep.
And how unnatural it looks.
Yeah.
And the torque and just the release and the elbow and the muscle. It's so abnormal. And for him, it's even more so because he throws so hard.
He throws so hard. So consistently. That's the thing too. It's not like he's in the amount of pitches at that kind of velocity, right? Like it's not, every couple days, he's coming out of the bullpen and he's giving you, one inning throwing on, 99-100. I mean, he's coming out and he's throwing,
yeah, it's giving you seven innings, 100 pitches, right?
His average velocity on his four-seam fastball was, 99 miles an hour. That's
crazy.
Silly.
Now, let me ask you this, and I still have the other question that's dangling, which we'll get to in a little bit, about best player in baseball. Where does Judge rank? DeGrom says he's going to opt out. For argument's sake, DeGrom comes back, is great, makes some starts, has to shut it down again, not right. Still opts out. What do you do?
I don't think he opts out at that point.
So you think if he comes back, has a setback, now he opts in, he stays in?
I don't know how you wouldn't. I mean, if he hadn't pitched since, I mean, he didn't pitch the whole second half last year, hasn't pitched at all now. If he comes back, makes two starts, and then gets hurt again, how do you opt out? Who's giving you a long-term deal at the kind of money he would want?
You would think nobody.
No, he'd have to come back, however many starts it is, whatever it is, and then carry this team through the postseason, pitch great, and then... Yeah,
and then it's though. Then it's an Aaron Judge situation. Then it's a blank check.
You know what? I was thinking about this Aaron Judge situation, too, during break. Like, think about this if you're Aaron Judge. And I get it. He stayed in school, so, I mean, he's a free agent at 30. I get all that. And the numbers will tell you, as you're in your 30s, you decline. But I'm sitting here in the same city where Francisco Lindor signs a 10-year deal, which, oh, by the way, will take him to 37, for $341 million.
Right.
I got a guy on my team who signs a 9-year deal that will take him to, 37 years old for $36 million a year. And me, the homegrown guy who's come up through the franchise, is the captain of your team, is one of the faces of baseball. You offer me a fair deal for 30 a season. Come on, man.
Listen, I couldn't agree with you more.
Of course he's pissed.
I couldn't agree with you more. Let's get back to the calls. Nick in Long Island. Nick, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, fellas. I just wanted to redeem the name Nick on this show. Real quick, I think Starlin Marte is a great player. I think he brings a ton of things to the Mets team besides at the plate. He steals bases. He's a specimen in the outfield. I think he's great. Real quick,
The Yankees would love to have Starlin Marte in their outfield right now.
I wanted him so badly last year when he was on the block, and the Yankees just didn't get him, obviously, but. I'm glad that he's still in New York, but I think it's obvious that the top six batters in the Yankees lineup are pretty much carrying the team, and then you got Gallo, the catchers, and Hicks, who they get their timely hits here and there, but they're not really doing anything special to talk about. And then obviously Judge is just out of control. And then real quick, if I could just tell a deer hitting story.
Yeah,
real quick.
We love those, please. Yeah, we're open for confessions.
That's what today's all about, buddy.
I was up in school in Massachusetts, and it was late at night, and I was driving with my buddy. We hit a deer, and we were probably like 10 minutes away from my school. So my buddy was big into hunting, and I was driving. I didn't have a pickup truck. He had a pickup truck back at school. So we hit the deer. We get out, confirm it's dead, and it wasn't like bleeding out too bad. So he's like, "Yo, let's go back to school. We'll grab my truck and we'll come back and we'll take the deer." So we go back to school, grab his truck, come back, and we skin the deer and took the meat in the street and use the meat for some venison.
Well, was the deer alive when you returned
to
the scene?
No, it was dead. No, they skinned the live deer, Dave.
Well, I don't know. We could have Hannibal Lecter on the line.
The deer passed away, Dave.
No, and then the deer was dead by the time we got back, but you have to, when you do that, you have to skin it and take
bleed
the meat
out
before it bleeds out too much, and then so it doesn't, the meat doesn't get like ruined. So he knew what he was doing. I was kind of
You ate the meat.
Yeah, so we froze like a lot of the steaks, and then he had like a, what's it called,
sausage jerky,
Yeah, we made some jerky. I forget what the machine is called that takes the juices out of the meat to make
delicious.
The jerky. But it worked out pretty well for college students.
You dehydrated it, yeah.
Dehydrated, yes, yeah. Yes. He had like a little dehydrator, yeah. It was great.
This guy
though.
Had everything
it
going on
out.
In this. How big was your dorm room that he had all this set up?
It wasn't that big. He had like it was like a mini fridge looking dehydrator. So it made probably like, I don't know, like a few pounds of jerky, but it worked out for us. It was great.
All right. Well, Nick, thanks for the call and thanks for that update. And that's straight
talk. Nick and his buddy is so much better than you. I mean, you
so
a deer. You just
can I finish a read though? Just
no.
Deep once. Can
you
I ever
don't
finish
need
one?
Reads. There's the show's
straight
five
talk. Brought to you. Please. Am I going to have Santiago to pot you down now?
Please give me for like an hour and 45 minutes. Just pop
give
me
you
right
the
down.
Nick treatment. That was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. DPHO Rothenberg presented as always by Progressive Insurance. And cutting the price of your wireless bill feels good, really good. Actually, forget about that. It feels great, and you should try it. So cut your bill by switching to Straight Talk Wireless, now offering our $45 silver unlimited plan with 5 gigabytes of hotspot and nationwide 5G on America's largest, most dependable networks. The $45 silver unlimited plan from Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. A month equals 30 days. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. He said something that there is no chance that ever you would say to me, all right, here you go, Rothenberg, skin this deer, that I could do something like that. No chance. You could pay me $50,000 and I wouldn't know what the hell I was doing skinning a deer.
How would you, though? Like, how would Dave Rothenberg today, like this Dave Rothenberg, ever know how to skin an animal?
I would not.
I mean, you watch a lot of serial killer documentaries, so maybe you've seen something like it. You have no clue.
No clue.
His buddy was a hunter. That's why he knew.
I don't think I'm the only one. I don't think RJ could do it. I don't think Greg could do it. I think the only hope we would have on this show is that you could skin the deer.
Well, yeah, I can't. I don't think I would be good. I've never done it before.
I've never done it before either. I certainly could not do it.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
The wet blanket, RJ Santillo.
I can't tell you how many times we'll talk Jets. We'll go to break and RJ will say, where are these wins coming from? They're not winning these games.
Well, because he's looking at the same schedule that we're looking at, as opposed to the whatever schedule everyone else is looking at. That was startling, though. Like that information that he sent us today is startling. I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah,
it's with the FPI,
it's rough. But how do you really buy into all like PFF, FPI? I mean, all that stuff. You always
not all the time. No, I I don't, because I played. But I mean, when I have. Orlovsky, and then we have, we have Mel and everyone else who was talking about, Zach Wilson making this huge jump, and we love what they did in the draft and in the offseason, and, Carl Lawson will be back, like all these different reasons why. And then we sit down, we look at the schedule, talk about the AFC. I mean, their first month of the season is the entirety of the AFC North and everything else. And then as a Jets fan, you're like, you're cautiously optimistic. And then RJ sends me this with the FPI rankings. And this is, I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into this, but I have.
What is FPI, by the way? Football Power Index?
Yes. Okay. So the Giants check in at number 22. Okay. The Jets ranked number 31.
Oof.
Says FPI ratings.
I guess my question would be, why?
It said, FPI ratings, the Bears and Jets are tied with the highest odds to have the top pick in next year's draft.
Which is, what, 14%, right?
Yeah.
That's not promising.
That would be a huge problem.
So here's what I will say, and it has to be, they don't think Zach Wilson is good at all.
Well, I think it's a combination of a couple things. I think you haven't seen enough.
If Zach Wilson is good, there's zero chance the Jets have the first pick or a top five pick in the draft.
See, I agree with you, but I mean, how much have you seen? Like, if we're focused strictly on analytics and numbers, strength of schedule, teams, opponents that you're playing, and everything else, like, have you really seen enough from Zach Wilson to feel that great about it?
No. I absolutely believe that there is reason for just at a minimum unknown, at most concern about Zach Wilson. But if they're going to have this FPI where they're 31st and they're picking, one, or have the best chances to have a top three pick or whatever it is, then it's clear to me what the problem is. Because their offensive line looks really good, right? It was good last year and it's better now. They've got a running back that you liked, and then you add another piece to that. The receiving core is as good as it's been in years, and you have multiple tight ends that you like. So the one outlier is the quarterback.
Well, it's also the defense, though, too. Let's not forget that. I mean, the defense was historically bad last year.
Okay, but look what you added. You had Carl Lawson, who's like brand new. He's never played with the Jets before, right? You added Jermaine Johnson. You added Sauce Gardner. I mean, you added real pieces to this defense.
But don't do that, though. But again, I think that partly plays into what FPI does, too, though. It's like, okay, all of a sudden Jermaine Johnson's just going to jump right in and have an immediate. Like, that's not always the case. That's a lot to put on rookies.
But I'm not sitting here saying there's going to be a 10-win team. I'm just sitting here saying, if this team is picking first, Zach Wilson stinks.
Or your coach stinks, or a combination of both.
Or they all stink.
Or all of the above, yeah.
I'll tell you what, if the Jets are picking top three, I think Joe Douglas has done is just bad at his job.
Yeah, we failed miserably if that's the case. Especially with all the positive reports coming out about Zach Wilson. He put on 8 pounds of muscle and everything else. He's traveling around, you know, throwing to his wide receivers, building up those relationships. But again, I mean, when you look at their schedule, there's something to be said, though, early on in the season, too, getting some momentum, feeling good about yourself, and you're playing, you know, four games against the AFC North.
It's a tough start. There's no doubt
about
it.
Very tough start.
But you know what? Week two, we don't know what that's going to be. I assume that Deshaun Watson will not be in that game. And again, even if you're the Jets, you start out 2-5 or 2-6 or whatever. It's not about going to the playoffs this year. It's about the maturation process. So that can still be answered, even in the middle of the season.
No, I know, but it's not just about the quarterback, too. Like, I mean, there are a guy, you go into an NFL season hoping to win, and if all of a sudden you get off to a 2-5 start or whatever it ends up being, I mean, that's not always easy to climb out of. Right? I mean, that's the last thing you want to do. With all these high hopes, expectations, all of a sudden you get punched in the face, and then you look up and you start the season 0-4 or whatever it is. That's not great.
That would be bad. That would be bad. But if you're picking one, something horrendously has happened.
Yeah, really bad.
Just really bad. All right, so I asked you before, all players on the table, best player Major League Baseball. You're going Trout 1?
Trout 1, yep.
And then where do you go?
I don't know how you couldn't go Trout 1.
No, I agree with you. And then where do you go?
Oh, where do I go right after Trout?
Right after Trout. You're going Judge? I mean, at the moment, Judge is a better baseball player than Juan Soto.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here looking at it during the breaks. I mean, I have a hard time the way Judge is playing, how important he is to this team. Plays multiple positions now. How he's not right there at the top of the list.
Otani,
yeah. I mean, Byron Buxton's having a good start to the season.
But Byron Buxton is not Aaron Judge.
Byron Buxton is damn good, man.
He's terrific. But you talk about injury concerns with Judge. Well, but Buxton is always hurt.
Bryce Harper, I mean, I'd have him on that list.
Yeah.
But I'll say this, though, and here's the thing I think that separates Aaron Judge from most. And almost, I don't want to say from Mike Trout, because I just think Mike Trout isn't, I don't know how willing he is to kind of take that next step to being like a true superstar. But Aaron Judge is an attraction, man. Like Aaron Judge will get kids to become fans instantly. Like he did it with my kid. Like there's just something about Aaron Judge, his size, whatever it is. I mean, it's just that freak show quality. Seems like he's a good guy. He's got a great smile with his new fake teeth. Like just like the entire package.
Yeah, he's got
just,
it all going on. He's but it's got more it than all just going
the,
on.
But the Yankees recognized that early. I mean, they couldn't wait to get that out in right field. They didn't do that. Have they done that for anyone else?
What, where they do like the judges' chambers and that kind of stuff?
They haven't done that for anyone else, have they?
No, because that almost feels like it's bigger than the Yankees, and they never want to put that out there.
But they did it.
They
recognized
did with him.
It.
They did with him. And now they're gonna. I mean, my God, I don't know how much money he's going to get, but he's going to get a Brinks truck backed up onto his front lawn.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
We've rocked you right up to a little stump, Rothenberg.
He's confident.
I want to be a college professor.
He's arrogant.
I'm the talent.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You like his book. You should read his book.
I don't read.
And now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
Uh-oh. And away we go. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the fine folks at Jackpocket. 1-800-919-3776. We start, as we always start, with Andy in Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DNR. David, I hear there's some kind of hockey game tonight. Is that true?
That is true right here on 98.7 ESPN. Starting at 7 o'clock, your New York Rangers take on the Carolina Hurricanes.
And, you know, I was going to listen on the sensational new app, but if you tell me 98.7, I'll go there, too.
You can listen on the app as well. You download it App Store, type in ESPN New York, app shows up, you have everything at your fingertips. Andy, what's the question du jour?
Today's question is about your opponent, the Hurricanes/Whalers organization. Ron Francis holds the team record for almost all offensive records. But can you tell me which player ranks number two in goals, assists, and points behind Francis?
You think Brindamore?
I'll give you a hint. There's a hint of New York flavor here.
So it's not Brindamore.
Nope.
You know who it is?
Yep.
So this guy's number two, New York flavor.
Just a pinch of flavor.
Just a pinch. Just a touch of you.
Is it a Stahl brother? Or could it be Pat Verbeek, who also played there and played with the Rangers? Well, a hint. I'm going to say Eric Stahl, final answer.
And welcome aboard, Dave.
And welcome aboard.
Well done, my friend.
I wonder where the Beaker checks in, though. Because Pat Verbeek was...
For what? Goals or assists?
For all of it. He's got to be up there.
Yeah, but you also have, I mean...
Santiago tells me number eight overall in goals for Carolina.
Number eight for goals?
Yeah. So, sixth in points, eighth in goals. Quick work for Santiago there. He's on the ball today.
Quick.
All right. Steve in Brooklyn. Steve loves Stump Rothenberg. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, guys. Since I got you with a hockey question Saturday, let's go to another hockey question. And
more
a goalie
hockey.
One at that.
Yeah, but I have my diamond in the rough now. If I struggle, I got Rick here to help me out. Bail me out.
That is important with a goalie question, so let's see. Nice and simple. Which goalie has the most career points?
I think we've done this one before.
Have we?
Yeah.
Most career points.
Forty-eight points.
Has a little Rick DiPietro in him.
Is it Brodeur? Barrasso?
Has a little Rick DiPietro in him.
That seems like it could be nasty.
No. No, it's not nasty. It wasn't meant to be nasty.
A little Rick DiPietro. So you, this is just easy for you.
Yeah. Well, because I think I've been asked this question before.
I don't know. I'm thinking Brodeur. Wah? But who has... No. Who has Hextall? Hextall scored a goal, I remember.
Yep. So did Chris Osgood.
And I think
so
Brodeur had Brodeur. A couple. Barrasso? I would say Barrasso, Brodeur, Hextall. Those are the three that...
Okay, which one of those guys... catches with the same hand that I do.
Oh. Yeah, that I don't know. I think Hextall was a righty.
Hextall was a righty. He caught with his left hand, correct?
Yeah.
And so was Brodeur.
All right, so then Barrasso.
Final answer.
Final answer. Oh, there you go.
Nicely done.
There we go. We narrowed it down. Very well played. All right, 1-800-919-3776. I ask you this, Rick. What is Stump Rothenberg without Sal from Dutchess?
Oh. It's not even a segment.
It's not even a segment. Well, then let's make it a segment. Good morning, Sal.
Buongiorno, fellas. Okay, I'm going to ask you if you know this one.
All right.
Do you guys watch Friends at all?
Love Friends.
You do?
Love it.
Okay. If you guys want me to change the question, I'll change it. But Here goes. And what is Chandler's middle name? Chandler M. Bing. What does the M stand for? If you want me to change it, I'll change it.
Chandler M. Bing. Well, I don't know that I know this.
I'll change the question.
Do you know this, Rick?
I do.
You know this?
Yeah.
How do you know this?
I have no idea. I was watching something because I watched that.
It's probably a lady's name, wasn't it? What is his dad? Was like.
Yeah, you're right. It is.
Is it? I don't. You know it, so answer it.
Well, no, this is Stump Rothenberg. You answer it.
Well, but I don't know the answer.
It's Chandler Muriel Bing.
Muriel? What kind of name is Muriel?
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful name.
What, Sal, what kind of, Muriel?
What kind of middle name is Hugh?
But I never heard the name Muriel.
Muriel. Same, close enough. Muriel.
Oh, Muriel.
Yeah, Muriel.
Not Muriel.
Muriel.
Oh, you're
going to pronounce it. What's your middle name?
Mine is Hugh.
That's terrible. I love that name.
All right. What a good show. Well, that was some kind of question, huh?
Well, he would have changed it. He told you he would have changed it.
Muriel. Well, let's go with you. What do you have there?
Oh, I got a hockey question, buddy.
Of course you do. Go ahead.
All right. So NHL.
Yeah.
New York Rangers.
NHL. Okay.
New York Rangers. Yeah. Keep it in your warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
So, Igor Shesterkin is most likely going to win the Vezina Trophy for most outstanding goalie. Can you tell me the other NHL, not NHL, other Rangers goalies to win the Vezina Trophy?
Jokinen.
Correct.
Lundqvist.
Yep.
You don't want to tell me how many there are, right? You're going to want me to guess that.
Well, I can tell you how many there are if you want.
Let me see if I need your help. Jokinen, Lundqvist.
It was Jokinen and somebody else in that year.
The Beezer?
Beezer won it.
I think Gilles Villemure won.
Yep. One more. Early.
Davy Kerr?
My man. Correct.
Look at you. Had you not said early, I wouldn't have gotten that one. But I'll take it.
Take it.
I will take it. Ryan Saratoga. Ryan, you are on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning, Ryan.
On. Here's my question. All right. There's only two players in MLB history on their rookie season to record 100 hits, 100 walks, and 100 RBIs in the season. Can you name them both, please?
100 hits, 100 walks, 100 RBIs. Now, Fred Lynn was MVP his rookie year. So I wonder if... could be him.
It's a tough question.
It's a good question.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Did Ichiro have 100 RBIs in his rookie season?
There's no way Ichiro had 100 RBIs. Are these very old time players?
Well, I will give you one hint, and then there is no more hints because hints are not fair.
Yeah.
One is old, one is relatively recent. Well, one is...
You said there are two or there are three?
Two.
All right, so I'm sure Babe Ruth did it. I don't know that he did it with the Red Sox, so I would say that's not the answer. I would think Gehrig. I would think Jimmy Fox. Mel Ott would be another thought.
It was 100 hits, 100 walks, 100 RBIs?
100 runs, I thought.
Correct.
Oh, 100 hits. 100
runs, no. 100 runs,
yeah.
100 RBIs, 100 walks.
100 hits, 100 walks, 100 RBIs.
Well, what was Judge's rookie season?
I don't think I know.
No, that wasn't his rookie season. Yeah, it was. That was his rookie year that Judge had that season.
You think he? Yeah,
it was Judge. Judges has to be one of them.
All right, so Judge. What do you think?
So that's
that
a new one. So now come up with the old one.
Well, it's not so easy.
Didn't you say? Did Fred Lynn win the MVP his rookie year?
Yeah, but I don't. Yeah, he did in 75. But I would think it. I don't know. So here's my Lynn, Ott, Gehrig would be my guesses.
So go with your. I mean, the guy won the MVP. I mean, the guy won the MVP his rookie season. I mean, I have to think that he had over 100 hits, right? 100.
But 100
runs.
Walks is different. All right, no, yeah.
No, he had 100. So 100 walks too.
Yeah, you said 100 walks, right?
100 walks.
Yeah.
100 plus.
100 plus, right.
100 plus walks. So I don't. He's not giving us. He didn't seem like nervous that you said friendly. I would take Fredlin out of it.
He didn't jump to like. Was that your final answer?
It's about nothing, Rick.
So we have.
I
don't know. I'm going to say Mel Ott, but I don't know the answer.
So that's your final answer.
Yeah, sure.
All right. So you got Aaron Judge, 2017. Ted Williams, 1939.
All right. Well, good for you. RJ, you're
five
pack.
We got one of two.
Well, you got it. I didn't. RJ, you're five pack.
All righty. How about some Rangers and Hurricanes colleges?
Oh,
are
no.
you kidding me?
Yeah, I am kidding.
Okay, good.
That would have been great, RJ. Oh.
I'm sorry to kick you while you're down.
Nice.
He is down. You can hear it in his voice.
I'm going to build you back up.
I'm fine.
We're going to start really, really simple. If you lose this, you should leave the show. Bruce Smith.
You know this one, Rick?
I'm not playing this game.
I know
I'm
Virginia Tech. Do you know where he went?
I am checked out.
you said Virginia Tech.
Oh, right.
Horace Grant.
Now, Horace Grant. Now, this always confuses me.
Oh, no.
Well, because his brother Harvey.
There's Harvey. There's Jeremy. There's.
Right. I think Harvey went to Oklahoma. I think Horace was Clemson.
That was correct.
Okay.
How about Al Toon?
Wisconsin.
Question mark, but correct.
Yes.
Easier, Reggie Miller.
UCLA.
And finally.
As did Cheryl Miller went to USC.
Not Shannon, but Sterling Sharp.
South Carolina.
Yeah, well done.
Where did Shannon go, Rick?
Shannon went to. I thought I heard him say this the other day. I don't know.
Savannah State.
Yeah, I don't care.
All right. Well, you should.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I know that it's done. I think it's kind of repulsive that they put a limit on who can buy and why.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I don't like it either, but I think they also understand, I mean, how well the Rangers fans travel.
So, sorry? No?
Well, no, listen, I mean, as a Rangers fan yourself, yeah, I mean, you want as many people, you know, as many Rangers fans as possible, but I also understand that you're trying to give your team the best home ice advantage you can.
I understand that, but to not allow other fans into the building, like to prohibit, if you want to put them on sale first for your Carolina fans for like a 24-hour advance, you know, they can buy it first, fine. But you are not allowed to purchase the tickets if you're not from that area?
I'm actually
surprised that's legal.
Well, it's their arena. They can do whatever they want. I understand. If I own the team, And there was the thought that there would be, you know, more Rangers fans that I wanted, but the place would still be sold out if I did what they're doing, I would do the same thing.
I would not do that.
Of course you would. You're a psych. If you own the Carolina Hurricanes, you wouldn't do that.
No, I would not do that.
You're so full of it.
I would not do that. Now, Cap P tweets in, I'm driving to Carolina for game 5. Tickets bought with an NC credit card. Address, so now it won't be canceled. Minivan rented, sits 6, has a 7th and 8th seat with your guys' names on it. Leaving 5 a.m. Thursday, driving back Friday night. Let's go. Want in?
Oh, we can't leave at 5 a.m.
It's true. We can't leave at 5 a.m.
No.
But we can leave right after our show, and I would like to propose that. 2-2 or better for the Rangers, and we go. We drive down to Raleigh Thursday after the show. Me, you, RJ. Ray, I'd say you, but obviously you're going to be working the game, so you can't.
Okay.
So what do you say? You in?
Who, me?
You and RJ.
I can't commit to that yet.
For God's
sake. I have a second job. I have to check what my schedule is next week. I can't just leave.
Fine. Forget it. You know what? You want to pick the series?
Pick what series?
What do you mean, what series? What series do we have coming up?
The Rangers series?
The Rangers series.
You want to dissect the series? I have an interesting little nugget for you.
Well, I don't want to dissect it where we're taking out kidneys and stuff, but let's do a minor dissection, and then we'll do a prediction.
Yeah, let's play Operation. Here we go. Little nugget. Any idea what the Rangers-Pittsburgh Game 7 did? This is on TNT.
Am I guessing how many people watched? Am I guessing a number? What am I guessing?
Yeah. What was the average viewer? How many average viewers?
I'm not going to have any idea.
2.3 million.
What is it? 2.3?
2.3 million.
Or is that good?
It's really good.
Put it in context for me here.
All right. So in their first season, NHL on TNT has broken the all-time cable viewership record for the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Viewers are up 60% from NBC last season.
Wow.
That's pretty solid. And that's with first-round games having local
broadcast, too,
local
right?
Broadcast.
Which is now done.
It's done. Yeah, it's done. Except radio.
So you got to figure most. Now, I thought it was on ESPN. I didn't realize it was on TNT, the Rangers.
We have the Rangers. The Game 7 Rangers was on TNT. We have the Rangers this series.
Right.
This,
so you have round. To figure that most New Yorkers were watching that game, most Rangers fans watching that game on MSG.
MSG, yeah.
Right. So that's probably another. I mean, what would you guess? You had to have a pretty good number of people watching that game locally here.
Yeah, most of the people I know that are Rangers fans watched it on MSG.
I did.
I watched it on MSG.
I did. I didn't even know what other channel was on, to be honest.
Well, I got to see. I mean, I got to see my boy Valley, so I always watch it on MSG.
So how about this now? So I talk to my buddy. Do you want me to book Mike, the voice of the Hurricanes,
yes,
by the way?
Absolutely.
All right. You want for tomorrow morning?
And yeah, I think you should react to what happens tonight.
All right, so I'll book him for 7 o'clock hour tomorrow morning. But I was talking to him, and he's the voice of the Canes on television. And I said, so he was explaining to me yesterday that's now done, right? No team is now doing local coverage. So I said, so are you done? What do you do now? He said, no, I'm doing the radio. I said, well, what happens to the guy that does the radio? They simulcast their games. Their radio coverage is just simulcast television.
Oh, nice.
Which, well, no, but I don't like that. So you're taking jobs away from people.
Yeah, but doesn't the same thing happen with Don, though?
No.
But what do you mean?
No, during the regular season, he does the TV broadcast, and then they just pick that up as the radio broadcast as well.
Oh, for the regular season.
For the regular season.
Yeah, I remember. I remember hearing that. I think Don might have said something like this.
And he was telling me that Carolina does that, Buffalo does that, and Dallas does that.
Yeah.
And that's apparently the wave of the future. But that's going to eliminate a whole faction of people calling games.
Yeah, I don't like that. I thought you meant just for the playoffs.
No. So now they're not doing TV, so he's just going to do the radio call.
Yeah, which is the same thing. It's just not on TV.
You're gonna love him. You're going to like him better than you like me. You're going to want him to move up here and do the show with you.
After what you did to me on Stump Rothenberg, I probably agree with that statement.
What exactly did I do now?
No, because you didn't have a great Stump Rothenberg. I helped you out.
I missed one question.
And then all of a sudden you wanted to try to embarrass me with the whole Shannon Sharp ordeal. That's fine.
All right, fine. Feel a way about it. Do you want to make a prediction for the Rangers and the Hurricane series?
Hurricanes in four.
You know what? You don't believe that.
No, I don't. No, I made my prediction yesterday. Hurricanes in six.
In six.
In six.
So what do you think? You think that it goes, they split the first two? You think Carolina wins the first two?
I would say the way Carolina looks at home, coming off the series that the Rangers just had, having to come back in all three of those games. Yeah, I would say that Carolina takes the first two.
And then you got to win 4 to 5, and that becomes almost impossible.
And then they came back from 3-1. All I know is that Boston is a really good defensive team. I mean, I actually picked Boston in that series for that reason.
That's a shame they didn't win that series.
Is that they have a very good defensive team. And, you know, it could be Bergeron's last year. I mean, that's one of the best lines in hockey. Like, all the different reasons why. And then when you watch Boston play in Carolina, it wasn't all too close.
No, those games in Carolina were not. They were not.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.